1290. Stay tuned.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel and Diane Duvernay, your hosts, every week right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and on Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Broadview Mortgage, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. And Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
And I'll have you know that tonight, Arlington Financial Advisors is defending our bocce ball champion title at Arnaldi's.
Are you playing anybody or are you just
doing
yourself?
We're playing somebody. I'm not sure who, but we come cheer us on.
So did I say Duva today or Duver?
I think you said it right.
I said it right.
We're making progress.
Right.
Our next article is about Tesla.
We're going to get to that. But I mentioned that we're going to talk about Tesla, and Diane pointed out it's Tesla. In New York, if it's east of the Mississippi, it's Tesla. If it's west of the Mississippi, it's Tesla. So this article, the first article, is was a long article yesterday in the New York Times about Tesla. And what they were focusing on is its high valuation. In fact, last week it surpassed the capitalization of Ford. Today it passed the capitalization of General Motors. And what many analysts call a company that's valued this high in terms of the metrics that people typically value companies, which is some type of discounted value of future dividends or earnings.
Or just their fundamental sales and cash flow.
Correct.
And by any metric.
By any metric, this stock is overpriced. And what many academics are calling this type of phenomenon is a story, STORY, story stock. And there have been many story talks over, the tulip story in the Netherlands in the 1800s was the first probably story investment. And there have been story investments recently, including Theranos and other drug companies that turned out not to be such a good story.
Right. Theranos being one, you know, she was on the cover of Time, Elizabeth Holmes, and, you know, it really turned out to fizzle.
And what story stocks typically are companies that people fall in love with, and they're not interested in the typical valuations. They're interested in the story behind it.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like back before the market crash in 2007, all of these investment clubs would meet and invest in companies that they were able to empirically look at. So they would go to Costco one day and they would say, hey, it's crowded, I'm going to invest in Costco, which
would have actually been a good idea.
But you could have also said that about JCPenney or Sears. But the fact is that it's a good place to start looking at the world and seeing what actually makes sense to you. But it's a place to start, not a place to finish.
Absolutely.
So what this article is basically saying is that while you may be able to be pessimistic about Tesla based on the fact that story stocks can be considered essentially a wish and a bet.
I don't think we're giving a full credence that there are stocks out there that are story stocks, stocks that it's kind of a tongue twister, that have done quite well. Apple was one.
Well, Amazon is still
Amazon's one.
Well, Amazon is still one. Amazon is taking over the world, but they still don't make much money.
Right.
So, and over the period of its life, they've lost a lot of money. So in a way, Amazon is still, in my view, a stock that's a concept stock. It's a good concept, but it may not pan out based on the traditional Graham and Dodd type matrix. But one of the interesting things about Tesla is that in this interview, which they essentially quoted Musk. I don't know if they interviewed him or they just got him quoted from other sources, that his future, as far as he's concerned, is not just cars. He thinks the biggest space for him is in redesigning the electric grid of the world. The electric grid is basically 80 to 100 years old, depending upon the country, and he thinks he has a better idea for how electric should be delivered to the world. The other area is self-driving cars, which he does not believe is a fad. He believes that one day in cities, cars will drive around in circles.
Much like your Uber or Lyft driver does.
Right.
Today.
And you would hail a cab or a car that had no driver and take it wherever you wanted to go for an hour or two and then leave it and it would pick somebody else up. And that would revolutionize the way people are a commute or go from store to store.
Think about how many more apartment buildings you could have put up in New York.
Well, in New York, the problem is that I remember I used to run every morning for 6 miles. I'd go home, take a shower, put on a suit and tie, grab a cab, and the cab ride to my office was shorter in miles than my run, and it would take me an hour to get there. Because the cars don't move. So New York's an exception. You can have self-driving cars, but you may not be able to move.
But think of all those parking lots that would become obsolete.
So the lesson of this article, I think, is twofold. One is that you have to be really careful when you pick a story stock. That is a stock that it can't be justified on even its next five-year earnings. On the other hand, in the case of Tesla, there is story that goes beyond the traditional story for a particular stock, whether it was Theranos with a blood test or Amazon with a – well, Amazon may be much closer to Tesla, which means it has many, many places it could go.
Absolutely. And the thing is with Tesla, it's – they've won over the hearts of people. If you know anyone who owns a Tesla, they love talking about it. They love sharing their stories about their car.
All right. The next article that I think is really very concerning to me is that the consumer credit card debt has now exceeded $1 trillion for the first time ever. And it is now, along with student debt and auto borrowing, the largest consumer borrowing other than mortgages in the country. And what I find really disheartening is that anyone that took Finance 101 knows that credit card debt runs between 16 and 28% interest. And the fact that $1 trillion in debt exists at a rate that is, in my view, usurious is very sad, both in the terms of why people either need it as a last resort or don't really understand how expensive it is.
And the real unfortunate part is that the younger generation are in that perfect storm. They have all three of those debts. Many of whom they have a credit card debt, they have college loans, and they have an auto loan. And so when you see young people today, they're carrying on an onerous amount of debt, especially compared to their the generations before them. Additionally, they also have a lot less appetite for risk. They're the most conservative generation that we've seen. It's quite interesting to sit down and talk to a 20-something-year-old about their level of comfort in individual stocks versus a 70-year-old. It's quite remarkable, and it's concerning because they're carrying this amount of debt and they're not able to invest and understand what investing is for and how it works.
Of course, on the other hand, I remember talking to some young girl at the dog park, and she was mentioning that she has a lot of credit card debt. And I said, "That's stupid. Why are you doing that?" And she said, "I don't have a choice." She looked at me like, "You don't get it, do you?" And
right.
That is a lot of people. The only way they can pay their bills is through a credit card debt. And it's really unfortunate because it's very expensive. The last article I wanted to talk about is headline, "Flatter Yield Curve in 2017 shows that there's some growth concerns." Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the yield curve, and the yield curve is representative of the term value of interest rates, where you compare short-term rates with long-term rates. And basically, in a normal world, you would see a upward-sloping yield curve where interest rates are low for the 90-day to 2-year period, and it would slope upward to a 30-year period, which basically means that you'd be paying for higher interest rates expected because of a increase in the economy, which would result in increase in inflation. And that was essentially what had happened during the beginning of the Trump administration. You had what was called this Trump trade, where the yield curve began to slope upward as expectations were that there would be an increase in government spending and infrastructure, tax cuts, which would incentivize businesses to invest. And so we would end up with a better economy.
Right, a normal-shaped yield curve, which the yield curve is measuring growth and inflation.
But in the last week, the yield curve began to flatten. And it began to flatten not because short-term rates went up, but basically because long-term rates have begun to come down slightly. And that seems to indicate that there is some a degree of concern about the how robust the economic turnaround is going to be. And, you know, I'm not sure this is totally true, but basically people believe that bond investors are more sophisticated than stock investors. So if bond investors are expecting that the market's going to be less robust, then you could make the case that there's something that you should be focusing on if you're a stock investor.
Absolutely. And I think it's important because as we approach the 100-day mark of the president's term, usually the first 100 days are where presidents are most effective in passing their legislation and or legislative agenda in total. And I think, you know, there's no arguing that President Trump has had several setbacks to his agenda over the past 90 or so days. And I don't see the next 10 being any more rosy for him.
Right. And the last thing about this article is that given the fact that the Fed is beginning to reduce its purchases of bonds. In fact, the general belief is they're going to reduce their balance sheet. You would expect interest rates to rise. And the fact that interest rates aren't rising is another indication that there is some pessimism, at least among bond investors.
Right. As they start to unwind that quantitative easing, we'll start to feel the effects, and perhaps that's what it is as well.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit BroadviewSB.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, license number 813G136, NMLS number 170528, an equal housing lender.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit SaveTheFood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Broadview Mortgage. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner.
And we're honored today to have Ms. Kelly Marsh in studio with us from Broadview Mortgage to share a little bit with us about the lending world. So hi, Kelly. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So that last article you were talking about, you know, how interesting that was. And really, we were talking about how the Fed has, you know, what year did you say? The Fed had zero mortgage-backed
securities. They owned $0 in mortgage bonds prior to 2008.
And now the Fed owns
$1.7 trillion in mortgage bonds.
And so on the break, we were discussing how the Fed is going to unwind that. And pretty much what they're doing is just letting them all mature out. So that's another aspect of the economy, which is working towards lowering rates because there's less money in the markets.
Mm-hmm. It definitely is going to be interesting.
So tell us a little bit about Broadview Mortgage and you personally, for those people that didn't hear you last time you were on the show, how you got into the lending world.
This is my 20th year.
Wow,
as
congratulations.
A licensed loan originator. Thank you. I know I don't look a day over 21, but I did close my first loan when I was 21 years old. I really got into the business. It was a perfect mix of client service and financial analysts. I love analyzing numbers. I love putting the puzzle together. And then I also love servicing clients. I'm a people person. So it really was the perfect mix for me. And I've not looked back for 20 years.
Well, and you're so good at it, which I think makes you really sets you apart from the rest. So I think we have a caller. So let's take our caller. Hi.
Hello,
caller.
Jean.
You're
Hi,
on Money Talk.
Oh, great. Happy to be here. Hi, my name is Brian, and I've got a question for the team. I recently purchased a house here in Santa Barbara. It was within the last 2 years, and I'm just wondering if it's a good time to refinance right now.
I could
congratulations on buying the home, and we'll turn it over to Kelly to answer your question.
Brian, a lot of times what we look at is what did you put down on the home? What's the current loan product that you have? What's the interest rate? What is an approximate value? We analyze all of that to see if we can improve what you have currently with something better. A lot of times, I mean, what would be your motivation for refinancing?
Oh, you know, just see. I'm always in the market for getting a better rate. I got 3.7 2 years ago, and I'm just wondering if there's – I guess it all depends on the factors that you mentioned, but – yeah, I'm always trying to get a better deal, I suppose.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of different reasons to refinance. There's a lot of people are motivated by dropping their payment. That's one of the obviouses. The second motivation can be to take equity out to do home improvements. A third one can be to consolidate other debts. We were talking about the astronomical credit card debt and student loan debt that people are faced with today. So that can be another motivator to combine other debts into your mortgage to help with your cash flow. I think the rate you have now sounds really great if it's a 30-year fixed.
So, Brian, do you have mortgage insurance, PMI? Because would that be another reason, Kelly?
That would also be another motivator. And there could be a reason if you have a government loan, like an FHA loan, to get out of that into a conventional loan that doesn't have mortgage insurance if you've got the equity. So do you know what kind of mortgage you currently have?
You know, it is a 30-year fixed.
Okay, that's great. Mm-hmm. Do you have mortgage insurance?
I don't. That sounds like something I should look into, though. Absolutely.
Well, mortgage insurance, just to let the callers know, the mortgage insurance is not there to protect you. It's to protect the lender. So typically, you would have mortgage insurance if you were to put less than 20% down. So if you got into, it sounds like you don't pay mortgage insurance now and that you have a really great 30-year fixed rate. So I also think that it's great to analyze it, to get more information, which I'm happy to do for you. But it does sound like you are in a good position currently.
Great. Well, I'm glad to hear it. Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks for calling, Brian.
What I always like about Kelly is that she's so honest about not taking on business if it's not in the best interest of the client. It's sort of like the fiduciary rule in your business, Diane.
Absolutely, right. Yeah, which has actually been postponed, the fiduciary rule, but that's a whole nother show. So, Kelly, tell us the difference. You know, you often hear as a consumer out there, mortgage banker, mortgage broker. What are really the differences between the mortgage banking world and the mortgage brokerage world?
Well, mortgage bankers, which is currently what I'm at, is I'm a mortgage banker, is we underwrite and we fund the loan. We do everything start to finish. So we have underwriters, we have funders, we use our money. We still have the variety of product, but we're not finding the various banks to lend it to. That happens on the secondary market. Mortgage broker acts more like a middleman, where they're finding the mortgage bank or the mortgage banker that would work best for the client. So they're not underwriting it, they're not using their own money, and they're not funding it. So that's the primary difference between a mortgage banker and a mortgage broker.
But in your case, you're a mortgage banker, but you also do the retail trade. That is, you actually act as what people would think of as a broker.
Yes, they really do. Look at it's hard for a consumer to really tell the difference. We can broker as well, so we have the best of both worlds. We can broker, and it usually makes more sense to do it direct. We have more control, but we can also broker if it's a product that we don't offer.
And can you give approval faster because you're a banker?
I would say that yes, in a lot of circumstances we can.
Because you have a direct line with the underwriter.
We're working with the same underwriters, funders. Everyone is we're all employed by the same company.
So what if you go out there and you let's just use a traditional 30-year fixed, that your rate is being beaten by another lender, you know, the banks that are putting marketing dollars towards buying down the rate for their clients. How do you compete against something like that?
Well, the first thing I always ask is to get a quote in writing, because what we see on the internet, I know this is probably shocking, but it's not always true. You know, if you get it in writing, it takes away any question of what's behind the rate quote. Consumers don't always know what to ask, because, you know, are there points involved? What are the upfront costs? Are there any prepayment penalties? Is it a 30-year fixed? Or sometimes it's advertised as a 30-year loan. A 30-year loan is not necessarily a 30-year fixed. So when you get all those pieces to the puzzle together, and quite honestly, it sometimes, which is not, it's unfortunate, can be hard to get an official rate quote from a lender. It shouldn't be hard. It should be something that's provided upfront, transparently, but it can be hard to get it from other lenders that aren't necessarily acting 100% transparent. So getting it in writing, and then we can take it and try to match it. I mean, it doesn't happen often, because we all get our money from the same place. It's all being driven by mortgage-backed securities, the Fannie Mae mortgage-backed securities. So looking at a Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate loan is not going to vary that much from lender to lender.
So you don't do high-end conventional loans?
We do, yes. So we do have a jumbo product, various jumbo investors. Mm-hmm. So we do have that product as well. But honestly, it's really the majority of the loans that are funded are going to be your Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loans, even in Santa Barbara. I know it's hard to believe.
But. Interesting. So when you have that availability to you, do you find that when the client comes in and has the quote in writing, do you usually find out that it's not an apples to apples comparison? Or
yes, it's about 50% of the time. There was something behind it that wasn't initially disclosed up front. That's why you always, always, always want to get your quote in writing. That is the best advice I can give anyone, is to work with a reputable lender and to get a quote in writing, which should not be hard for them to produce. And if it's hard for them to produce, that's a red flag in my opinion.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station. We'll be right back.
People's Self-Help Housing is a national award-winning nonprofit organization celebrating 35 years of experience in creating affordable housing and self-sufficiency programs for lower-income families, seniors, and those with special needs. People's Self-Help Housing has helped to create over 1,000 self-help ownership homes and over 1,200 affordable rentals. 400 children annually are served through their K-12 education enhancement programs. People's Self-Help Housing is committed to expanding its core vision of providing housing for low-income income families, seniors, and the physically challenged. The organization also provides complimentary social services designed to assist each resident. People's Self-Help Housing believes that affordable, safe, and quality housing leads to healthy communities, which benefit us all. You can help in these efforts to create more housing and related social services by calling 962-5152. That's 962-5152.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we're in studio with Kelly Marsh of Broadview Mortgage, talking about interest rates and home purchasing and refinancing and all of those matters. So if you have any questions, don't hesitate to give us a call at 564-1290. And so, Kelly, but before the break, we were talking about the difference between mortgage bankers and mortgage brokers. And now I wanted to ask you, how do you think the Federal Reserve's comments in December about raising rates three times affected the bond market and lending?
That always confuses consumers. Whenever the Fed either raises the Fed rate or talks about it, we get flooded with calls of current clients, past clients. I heard that the Fed is raising interest rates a quarter. It all depends on how the bond market reacts to the Fed raising the rates and the comments behind it. And so if you look at the past, so they recently raised 0.25% in March. Interest rates today, mortgage rates today, prior to where they had raised, are about 0.25%, if not 0.25% lower today for a 30-year fixed rate than where they were before the Fed raised 0.25%. So it's actually quite opposite sometimes. When the Fed raises, it doesn't directly impact mortgage rates.
Yeah, because the Fed only can control short-term rates. And we talked before about the flattening of the yield curve. But that's why what the Fed is trying to do now with the unwinding of quantitative easing should have had the effect of raising rates, but it hasn't. So there's something going on. So one of the issues is if you're, I would think, looking to get a mortgage, if you're too cute, you're going to miss the market in either direction because, you know, as we say, if you could predict interest rates, you would not be doing whatever you're doing. You'd be making a lot of money on a lot of leverage. So the idea that you can time something this difficult to time and therefore make a decision about your home based upon your view of interest rates is really kind of a fool's
game. Well, and I often say, you know, relative to a 30-year view, we are still at historic lows.
Absolutely.
Anything that starts with a 4 in your interest rate, you're still doing remarkably well. What's interesting is when the Fed did announce that they were raising rates again in March and back in December, I kept getting calls about money market rates and when are they going to go up? And I said, don't count on seeing any raise off the floor of 0.01 anytime soon. The banks are still trying to recoup and make banking work for them. So now, since mortgage rates are tied to the 10-year Treasury, is that a good place for people to look to get a sense of rates in general if they should purchase or refi?
I think it's a good indication. The Fannie Mae mortgage rates and the FHA VA rates are tied to actual mortgage bonds. So Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed securities are going to drive FHA VA rates, and the Fannie Mae mortgage-backed securities are going to drive the conforming product, meaning Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac. So treasuries usually trade side by side with mortgage-backed securities, mortgage bonds, but not always. But it is the best indication unless you have access to the actual mortgage bonds. Those are a little harder to find if you were to just Google them online. Usually you have to have some kind of subscription to a online trading platform or something like that to see it. But the treasuries would be the next best thing to look at the trends.
So when you were talking about the different types of securities, the Ginnie Mae, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, talk a little bit about government-backed securities versus the private sector.
So like I mentioned before, the most common loan across the country is going to be a conforming Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan. There are the those are the GSEs, the government-sponsored enterprise. So FHA, VA are government insured loans. So FHA is a low down payment loan that anybody can use. You don't have to be a first-time home buyer. The down payments are as low as 3.5% down. The loan limits here go up to $636,000 for FHA. VA is the other government insured loan. And that, I love VA, by the way. Thank you for all the veterans serving our country or that have served our country. But VA is my favorite. And it actually goes up to $2 million loan amount. A lot of people don't know that.
Wow, that's high.
And it does 0% down up to the county loan limit, which Santa Barbara is $625,500. But then you can go above that and you start calculating down payments, not to get too technical. But it is such a great loan for borrowers and for veterans. And I always like to remind the real estate community that there's a reason why they're able to do a VA loan. It's because they served our country. The interest rates for VA loans tend to be lower than Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and even jumbo loans. So they're 30-year fixed
rates. So for VAs, so basically if you're a veteran or in the service, there's a zero down payment up to the county loan.
Up to the county loan limit, which
is 629.
$625 for Santa Barbara County.
Okay.
But you can go above that up to $2 million. You just have to start putting
some money
payment
down.
Yeah, and it's a formula, but it ends up being less down, let's say for $1 million purchase. The down payment is typically less down than if you were to do a jumbo loan, which a lot of times is a 20% down. There are some jumbo that are less than that. But it the VA option would be a lower down payment and usually a slightly lower interest rate, and qualifying is much easier with VA.
Wow.
I wonder what's going to happen if they actually rewrite the tax laws and interest rates on mortgages are no longer deductible.
I just talked to a client about that last week. It's hard for me to imagine that they would take away that tax deduction. But
which is why
it would have wide-reaching ramifications.
I could only imagine.
And the reason that there's in some quarters low expectation of a rewriting of the tax code is that that's one of the areas of serious resistance. You have religious groups about charitable deductions. You've got retailers against border tax concepts versus a current.
I almost think though that the home mortgage deduction would be that third rail, because when you look at who the voting public is, most of them own a home.
And home ownership and how it drives the economic environment. And home ownership is at all-time lows nationally. So I couldn't imagine them taking that away.
Well, I'm old enough to remember when with interest rates on credit cards were deductible. And that was, the idea was people would spend money and it would improve the economy. So your credit card interest was deductible.
But given where the economy is right now, and when you talk about how we're at, in the article that we discussed, at high levels of consumer debt on credit cards, who knows? Maybe that should be the opposite effect. Maybe we shouldn't have that deductible again.
Bring it back. I think that student loan, and you mentioned the student loan debt, and that's a hot button in the mortgage industry right now, which we can talk about. But the student loan debt is not tax deductible for incomes over a certain level. But the people, in order to even to get a job at $100,000+ a year, you have to have a college degree. So they have student loan debt, but then they don't get the deduction. Mm-hmm. So it's really interesting.
How is that student loan debt affecting those borrowers who want to buy homes?
Well, it definitely has changed. Lots and lots of talk and lots of guideline amendments and clarification around how to calculate a student loan payment from a qualifying standpoint. So we used to go off the credit report, and whatever was reported on the credit report for the student loan payment is what we would use.
Meaning their credit score?
No, the credit on the credit report, you have your student loan with the payment. the amount that you monthly payment that's disclosed on the credit report.
And it would dollar for dollar be a reduction of what you could afford for your home.
Yes, but now there are a lot of different student loan repayment plans that people can do. They can do income-based repayments. They can do a lower the payments can be lower than fully amortized, meaning principal and interest. You've got a 10-year term at X rate based on this loan amount. This is how much it would take to pay it, and your balance would be zero at the end. A lot of student loans are not fully amortized. Now what we have to do on our side for qualifying a borrower is we have to confirm, is that payment reflecting on the credit report showing fully amortized payment? If not, we have to either get something to show what the payment would be, or we qualify them at 1% of the balance. So if someone has a $10,000 student loan, we have to qualify them with a $100 a month payment, which that might not be what their real payment is. So it's really a hot button. Qualifying our borrowers with the fully amortized payments can absolutely impact them qualifying for a mortgage. So you got to be careful.
And in this market, it could very well kick them out of the market altogether.
Yes, because we see student loan debts $30,000 easily, if not $40,000 to $50,000 to $60,000 or more. Well,
yeah,
when you see loans.
When you see higher education,
absolutely,
you know, attorneys, doctors,
they have sometimes
schools.
They have $150,000 to $200,000 in student loans.
Yeah, and the loan forgiveness program that was supposed to take effect now is under a great cloud with the new administration. And there was this big article this week about how no one knows who is been forgiven and who has not been forgiven. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
When I saw a woman unconscious in her chair, not breathing, I felt frozen in time. As a longtime waitress in Santa Barbara, I've seen a lot, but this was frightening. Fortunately, I had just gotten my CPR recertification from our local Red Cross chapter. I was able to assess the situation, lay the woman on the floor, and start chest compressions and rescue breathing. Suddenly, I heard a gurgling in the woman's throat, and someone said, "She's breathing." I continued using the CPR skills I'd learned at the Red Cross until the paramedics arrived. Some people call me a hero. I don't think of myself that way. I'm just an ordinary person who knew what to do in an emergency situation. Thanks to my local Red Cross training, I helped save a life.
The American Red Cross, Santa Barbara County Chapter, is here to prepare you for emergencies. Call 805-687-1331. Or go to sbredcross.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara.
And we're in studio with Kelly Marsh, if you're just joining us, from Broadview Mortgage. And on the break, we were talking about how, you know, as home ownership becomes more affordable, as rents skyrocket, and I couldn't help but to be struck by the fact that, you know, rents have gone up considerably in Santa Barbara. And the Santa Barbara City Council is talking about, you know, how to do rent control, how to, you know, limit the vacation rentals. You can no longer rent for any more than, or any less than, I should say, 30 days. How do you see that affecting home ownership here and affordability?
I think it's pushing more people to explore the possibility of owning a home. I really try hard to educate the community that you don't necessarily have to have 20% down in order to purchase a home. There are a lot of programs out there that can you can get in with less than 20. So if they were to look at what am I paying for rent versus what I would be paying to own a home, how much capital does it take for me to purchase that home, what are the tax benefits of that home, assuming that the tax deduction doesn't go away for mortgage interest deduction. But I think it's really important for people to understand that there's no harm in them exploring the possibilities of homeownership. It's more realistic than I think that a lot of people think when they're paying the amount of money for rentals here.
Right. And, you know, it's interesting because before 2007, I had a client who was approved for a 40-year mortgage. So they're in a 40-year mortgage. Are those products still available today?
No, you're not going to see the 40-year mortgage term out there. The longest term that you're really going to see is a 30-year term. Part of that has to do with the Dodd-Frank reform and the definition of a QM, qualified mortgage, not to get too technical, in compliance, but the longest term within Dodd-Frank, they state, is 30 years to be considered a qualified mortgage.
Yeah, and Diane, that client of yours was 12 years old at the time, so that's why they got a 40-year mortgage.
But really, so what happens in the secondary market with those 40-year mortgages now?
They're just servicing. Mm-hmm. I did see recently that a client had done a loan modification, which is going back to their current lender to modify their loan terms to something more affordable. Those are sometimes a little difficult to get through, but they got it through, and they did a 40-year term on this modification last year.
Just last year.
That was a loan mod, so that was unusual.
Speaking of abnormal from the average mortgage, one of the things that makes me believe that if we eliminated tax deductions on interest, you still wouldn't kill the mortgage market is that a lot of people in this town have mortgages above $1 million, and anything above $1.1 million, you don't get to deduct the interest. So it's not stopping people from thinking of the alternative use of money given the interest rate, even if it's on a pre-tax basis.
True, but Neil, you got to think location-wise, you live in a bubble in Montecito. Most people live like in Goleta, Santa Barbara. Loans are not above $1.1 million.
No. Thank you for the condescending insult.
It was with love.
Right. No, but I'm saying that in terms of rational thinking, you can make the case that there are people who are presumably not stupid who are taking out mortgages where they cannot deduct the interest. And that can be with people in the AMT where they're not necessarily making that much money, but because of the way their income comes in, they can't use the interest deduction.
True.
And still they have mortgages because they believe that the use of that money could be more productively.
Absolutely. I completely agree with you, right. With or without the mortgage deduction.
Even out of the bubble.
And I think it's the pride of ownership. I think that
it's the American dream.
It's the American dream. And I think owning a home for lots of reasons, it's not going to be solely for the tax deduction. But it is a benefit.
I think for the end of the market that's just getting into that entry-level home, I think it's actually make or break that mortgage deduction. For those people purchasing homes above $1 million.
They're not mercy, let's say, to their income to debt ratio the same as someone that's buying in the million plus their million or less purchase price versus borrowing $1 million.
You know, one of the messages of this show is if you listen to the show that we're having, and you think about the topics we're talking about with Kelly and the nuanced answers, and then you think about what the typical mortgage broker provides, which is how much you can borrow and what the interest rate is. There are so many more issues that you need to be aware of, and that's why using someone like Kelly, and I don't want to sound like a commercial, but I am, is really in your best interest. It's the same price, and you get an expert that's going to take you to places that you really didn't understand. And I know from firsthand experience, 9 months ago, I called Kelly about a mortgage that my son wanted to take out, and she basically said, no, he's got something, just leave it. So you also have someone that will be honest about not churning an account.
Yes, and you know, I've personally used Kelly.
Kelly, the answer would be
wow,
thank you.
Wow, this is so nice. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That would be the appropriate response. Thank you.
Thank you. No, I really do believe that.
That's a silence.
I think a client is for life. Again, born and raised in the community, serving Santa Barbara and other areas, but primarily Santa Barbara, it's not just about that one deal. It is about the client relationship. Diane, you can relate to this. Mm-hmm. Neil, it's really about the client relationship that is so important. And I'm going to always advise what I believe is right for the client, not what's right for my pocketbook. I've never structured that way.
Well, and in this market, I don't think you can, or I think you burn out because we have a finite amount of people here. And if that was your philosophy, it would be very difficult to have that repeat customer. And you've been in business now for 20 years with mm-hmm. lots of repeat customers. And so to that end, you know, what do you think are the biggest challenges facing as a businesswoman who owns your branch here in Santa Barbara, facing Santa Barbara at this point in time in the economy?
I would say our purchase price does create a unique Our cost of living here creates a unique challenge. It's hard to find loan products for clients that have the income, but they don't necessarily have the down payment that they need for a $2 million home, which, as we know, is a beautiful home, but not a completely uncommon price.
So you don't provide in-laws yet? You don't provide them with rich in-laws? That's not part of your...
Don't. I wish I did.
That's too bad.
But I think that's probably a big challenge is that they've got the income, but they don't necessarily have the capital, the money to put down yet. And our price point here does have somewhat of a unique market when you look at other markets across the country. There are other markets that are like ours, but there's not a lot.
Well, in addition, in that same vein, the job depth of finding another high earning position at a different company is very slim. We don't have a 7 deep in terms of company bench in most fields. Mm-hmm. Some we do, but not all.
And that's why I think we're really heavy in the entrepreneurial here in Santa Barbara. So that's one thing that sometimes when I meet with clients, there's a stepping stone. Okay, this is our first step. So let's get this going. Let's prepare your taxes in a way that you're going to be able to qualify for a mortgage in the future. We're going to advise them and then revisit it in 6 months and revisit it. I just have a client now. It's taken him a year and a half, but he's now in a position to purchase. But to meet first to get that advice on how best to plan for a purchase is key. It can never be too soon, in my opinion, to meet with a professional that can help you set up a plan of action on how can I buy that home or how can I get into a position to refinance. If I'm not ready right now, what can I do? And we sit down a lot with clients and they're not ready right away. They can't purchase right away. But to set up a plan, whether it's credit repair or whether it's income or whether it's saving for a down payment, those are key.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit broadviewsb.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, license number 813G136, NMLS number 170528, an equal housing lender.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What, the job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Broadview Mortgage. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. We're here with Kelly Marsh, and you know, we were wondering what happens when interest rates either begin to go up or the perception is they're going to go up. Doesn't that make people who are on the decision-making edge, whether it to refinance or to buy, doesn't that give them an extra push?
Absolutely. I think if you look at the borrowing power and how the interest rate impacts that power for a consumer, it's important to understand if you're going to hold out waiting to refi for interest rates to drop or waiting to purchase because you think interest rates are going to drop. Here's the thing. You can always refinance in the future if interest rates drop, but you can't always get your foot in the door with the current market and buying with the current rates. If the property is right for you and it makes sense and you can afford it, then make that decision. Don't let it be based strictly on interest rate. If you can afford it, I say do it if it makes sense for you.
How many people pre-qualify before they go out? Do they, rather than call a real estate broker, how many people call you first?
I would say I prefer to meet with my clients face-to-face. I think it's really important to get the face-to-face consult to understand everything about the mortgage and your affordability and how rates work and go through all that. I would say I meet with 90% of my clients before they're under contract. That is the best way to do it. It's way less stressful for you as a borrower to have had the education, understand the numbers, understand what you can do, and go in to your purchase with the majority of the paperwork taken care of for your loan. Then you can focus on the home and the inspections and locking the rate and not having to scramble. I have one today, actually, that's already under contract, and I have not even talked to them. So it creates a much more stressful environment. A lot of real estate agents won't talk to a borrower unless they've been pre-approved, meaning you have your paperwork in, your credit has been run, everything's been verified. That's the difference of getting pre-approved versus just pre-qualled is, it can be a little Swiss cheesy, a little dicey.
Well, I have a story that Kelly actually saved the day for one of my clients. And I think it's important to note that in this environment, we have a lot of entrepreneurs. And they were going through a more traditional method of financing through one of the major banks. And they wanted the husband's K-1s, and they wanted to see then the company, which was a startup that didn't make any monies, books, and that didn't help things. And then they ultimately denied it and recommended that my client borrow money from their 401k in order to put the down payment or loan. I can't even remember what all the details were. I called Kelly. She stepped in and she got the loan approved. And then the irony of the whole thing is it was resold to that original lender that denied it on the secondary. So I think it's a different approach to go with a person local who has a face and a name and sits down and explains things to you than going to one of these major banks that have no relationship with the underwriters.
It is important to know how to package the deal and to present it with all of the holes completed. And to have the advice up front, if I were a consumer, I would want to know, what is it that you're going to need from me? Because I'd rather provide it up front so I can focus on my purchase and have a less stressful experience. I'm not going to lie. Our loan process, due to compliance, that's a whole nother conversation, it's laborious. There's a lot of paperwork involved due to government regulations. So if you know that up front and you have your punch list of what I got to provide, it makes it, the process is so much smoother. And again, we, as long as we communicate and we keep it very transparent of this is what we're going to need, that's what it's all about.
There was an article in one of the magazines about 15 years ago that said one of the most stressful things, among the top 10 stressful things, is, you know, divorce, death, and getting a house. It's a very, even if everything goes well, it's really stressful. However, this show wasn't. Kelly Marsh, thank you so much. Broadview Mortgage, your first choice to get information and to eventually get a mortgage. Thank you for being here. Diane Duver, it's always nice to see you.
Always great to see you, Neil.
And we'll see you all here back next week.
Thanks.